the Crystals. There used to be a ballroom in Dublin called the Crystal. In fact, it used to be called the Lovely Crystal. And it was very far from that. And I only draw it in because Sean Hughes grew up in Dublin, didn't you, Sean?
Yeah, no, I'd never been to the Crystal, though.
Ah, no, it was after your time.
Tell me about it, I want to know. Where was it?
It was down a side street in Dublin.
Of course, everything's down a side street.
And it had a chandelier.
Right, that sounds...
And one of those balls that goes around.
It didn't have one of those.
It did.
Well, when was this? I thought they only came into... I thought they just put them into places in the 80s.
I know.
The disco ball.
They were in the 1880s.
Right. Well, I tell you, Dublin's gone way up my estimation. I thought we were a little behind the times back then.
So, you weren't born in Dublin. You were born in
yeah,
London?
Born in London. Yeah. And... Well, no, because weird... I talk about it in the show. It's like the biggest practical joke my dad played on me, where he waited... Like, I don't want to get all political, but I was born in 1965, and he waited until I was five in 1970, in the height of the Troubles in Ireland, where it was a bit of beef between the two countries, and he made me live in Dublin with a Cockney accent. And you can imagine, that was a baptism of fire for me. I just basically, people hated me. I was going, all right, I'm Irish, I am. And I was just like, you know, going to this really hard place in Dublin.
That's really tough. And in fact, the one-man show that you're going to take around the country really talks about your dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, my dad died a couple of years ago, and I love him very much, so it's just it kind of refocused. Like, it's a bit like, you know, you're talking about Dublin now and in the past. I just think you get to a certain age and you kind of, you know, you start, those things become much more important, I guess. And, like, when something really big happens in your life, like, you know, someone you love dies, like, you have to kind of re-evaluate all the memories. So it was interesting, good and the bad thing. But, yeah, being a Cockney accent of five was really... Because you were born in Limerick, weren't you?
I was born in Limerick, yeah. So I had a Limerick accent. But
you got rid of that, like, what, age two?
When you come over here with an Irish accent, there's no real problem.
Yeah.
Even in the worst of what we euphemistically call the Troubles, there was never... people with Irish accents were never castigated. Nobody ever pointed a finger of scorn at them or shouted at them in the
but
street.
But you've got such a lovely accent. But you, like, the weird thing is, I'm, even being Irish myself, there's a little bit of me wants to do you. You know what I mean? And you must get that all the time. Going, hello, Terry. And like, I feel like doing. I'm going, well, I've got an Irish accent. Why would I be doing it? But you get that all the time.
No. What do you get when I go back to Ireland? Is, and indeed, Ken Bruce always says that when he goes back to Glasgow, it's the same thing. I see you've lost your accent.
I know. Well, I got it from the very off, all that stuff. Like, you know, it's ridiculous. People, like, we had the choice when we were seven of going to elocution lessons or Irish dancing. And I took elocution. I didn't think I had a choice, actually, but my parents decided elocution lessons.
Very wise.
Well, I still don't think I can pronounce most words properly.
Yeah, but of course you could have been fronting river dance.
Well, exactly. So I think I lost out, to be fair.
The old hard shoe.
Did you do any Irish dancing?
No, I didn't. My parents, not that they were West Brits, but they didn't really subscribe greatly to the Irish dancing and the Baron and playing the banjo or anything like that.
But your parents, are they from Limerick?
No, my parents were from Dublin.
Okay.
And then my father went to Limerick to manage a grocery store.
Is that a euphemism for prison?
No, because
Limerick isn't a great place, is it, Terry?
No,
come
Limerick,
on.
Limerick is... I am a freeman of the city of Limerick. And I'm a man who can drive a herd of sheep across Sarsfield Bridge and up O'Connell Street any time.
Well, absolutely. But I think everyone in Limerick does that, to be fair, don't they?
No, they don't. Not unless they're freemen. And anyway, Limerick has a terrible... misjudged reputation, because it's a great place.
Okay, well, let me just put it into context for people. Where would you say was the equivalent over here? So then, it's not me slagging off Limerick. Where would you say...
Kensington.
Kensington. Yeah, I see that. If a load of Irish people came over to Kensington with sheep, it'd be very similar.
So, tell me how you're going to amuse the thousands. Life Becomes Noise is going to be your one-man show, starting in London West End Arts from 30th of May. Is it a while since you've done stand up?
Well, no, I've always done it, but like, it's weird. I wait until like these shows lately now. They're always about something. So Life Becomes Noises. It's basically what it's like to be a father, and so it's the joy of that, you know. But unfortunately, because you're dealing with it's a death that puts it all into context. So, but it's not about death. But we do tackle the whole Irish funeral, and Irish funerals are a very odd thing indeed.
Well, I mean, there's often more fun at a funeral than there is at a wedding.
Well, yeah, very much so, yeah.
Because it's a wake.
And also, there's a free bar, so usually, which you don't really get at a wedding. So
well, you got it at my wedding.
There's a free bar.
The wife's father put up for a free bar. I have the bill to this day.
Was there a limit to it, or was he just going...
No, he flung it open.
That sounds...
Isn't that fantastic?
And has he
ahead of his time.
Has Pope Francis, has he put him in for sainthood?
No, but if he was still alive, he'd certainly have put himself in the running.
But, like, surely that's what you do, isn't it? We kind of reflect on that, and now we put him forward as this fellow was a saint. He didn't even put a limit on the wedding bill. He just said, just drink what you want. And it was an Irish wedding. And is your wife Irish as well?
Yes, yeah, she is, yeah. We married in Ireland. And then came over here on the emigrant ship.
Yeah.
Barefoot.
We were all on that ship.
Barefoot.
Yeah, with a big bag of potatoes. Yeah, just
sitting outside the BBC, bribing Pete Murray with cigarettes.
What, like counterfeit cigarettes or proper cigarettes?
No, the proper cigarettes.
You're still saying Limerick was a great place, yeah? Coming over here with your cheap cigarettes to Kensington, trying to flog.
Yeah, you're putting words in my mouth now. I see.
Flogging Benson Hedges to people who support Chelsea.
So tell me this now, you'll be talking about your dad.
Yeah.
But will you be interspersing it freely with what passes for jokes?
Well, yeah, but not, like jokes are kind of what kind of Les Dennis does, really. You know, no disrespect.
No,
but,
of
you know. But yeah, it's kind of, like, it's funny, but it's like, I think the best things is, like, it's a shared experience, so that's what makes it funny. So it starts off and, like, it's a weird one, because it's not just me and a microphone, it's a whole set and stuff. And I start the show dressed as a jockey, because... And this is, like, you know, this is where you get some fun out of... Because people go, well, you can't laugh about death, but you can. When my father died, my father loved gambling, and horse racing was his thing, and he just lived for it. And, like, initially... I've got two brothers, and he wanted us all to be jockeys, but that's when we were five, and he went, oh, no, you're actually getting taller, aren't you? And then he realised that wasn't going to happen. So at five, we went, don't grow anymore. He even got us smoking to stunt our growth and everything. Yeah. And then if we knew about the cheap cigarettes, we could have come to you. basically, I started the show about... Because, like, obviously, when he was dying, it was very sombre, and you're around the dying bed all dressed, you know, respectfully. But my kind of regret is that I wasn't dressed as a jockey, because he died of cancer, he was on so much morphine at the end. It would have put a big smile on his face if he saw me dressed as a jockey.
Of course he would.
And, you know, so it's just that kind of... you look at the... Basically, weirdly, I don't know what it is. There's been a real sea change in me, because I know a lot of the new comics, and I consider myself a new comic ridiculously at 47, but we kind of... People see us as kind of being nasty and you know, swearing.
That's the way I've always seen you.
Yeah. I have been like that. Yeah. But... I the two things with the show, this show, before I started writing, which was a 2-year write, is no sentimentality, because I think there's enough of that in the society, and it has to be uplifting. And so if people don't go out, because I make the ending, it's really beautiful, and it's like puts a big smile, like a smile rather than a big laugh sometimes. Like, you know, I just, like a lot of the comics these days forget that. Humour is, and you do it every day on the radio, you know? So this is what I'm talking about. It's not about jokes. It's about every day on the radio, you made so many people feel better about themselves. That's comedy.
Yeah, observational.
Well, no, but just that thing of, like, people forget that it's not about telling jokes. It's like if people go to see you for the night, you want them going out feeling better about themselves. And then that's, to me, that's much better than telling a load of jokes. And, like, that's what I mean. I'm not kind of going up, you for no reason, but, like, you know, everyone knows that just a lot of people's mornings, you were the dude that they spoke to, you know?
Well, that's good. Now, you were the youngest ever winner of the Perrier Award.
Yes.
You see, and did that
bubbly
go
water.
To your head?
Well, like, weirdly, I can't stand bubbly water. I just, because I can't belch. I don't know, there's something wrong inside me, so I went quite literally straight out, projectile. But, yeah, no, it was... I got success quite early, so I guess it probably did go to my head, because, you know, yeah. It does.
And there's a fair few Irish comedians.
Let's not mention any of them, Terry.
No. Okay.
I am the only one.
Okay, let's play a bit of music for you.
Yeah, there's no choice. If they want to see an Irish comic, I'm the fella to go to.
Okay. What about Ollie Murs?
Is he an Irish comic?
He could have been if he wanted to. Yeah. Ollie Murs! Troublemaker. He's on tour, you know.
But what, Robbie Williams, I believe.
How did you know that?
The guy just said it to the window there.
Yeah. He thinks he
knows everything.
Are you contractually obliged to go, Ollie Murs, like that? Or
no, it's just because of, you know, whatever it is, X Factor.
Oh, okay.
You know, right. It was always, Holly Murs!
I never watched that.
Didn't you?
No, because he's on the X Factor bonus or something, isn't he? The one on the other channel that swears a lot.
But listen, you're a veteran of television.
Yeah.
You had your own television show. What's it called? Sean's Thing or Sean's...
Sean's Thing, yeah. That was well, no, we didn't mess about. We just called it Sean's Show.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It was like... Yeah, I was absolutely blessed. I just gave me my own show and just said, I like just create your own little world. And it was to the extent like where I remember, and this will be the Irish in me, where I was in a meeting one day and they said, well, we're just going to give this amount of the budget to someone to write the theme tune. I went, sorry? He says, yeah, we're just going to give that to. And I said, oh, here's the theme tune. And quite literally just went, it's Shawnee Show, la 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 la. And I went, right, that's it. So I got that money straight away. But it was that thing of where they just went, like, it's that weird thing when you write for something for television and you forget that you're going to have to perform it. And there's me, like, really having the time of my life writing this whole scene about me in a bath of jelly with Windsor Davis. And I'm, like, you know, just having the time, way to a time. And then I realised, oh, yeah, we actually do that. So, you know, you forget that you're going to actually one day then be in a bath
and have to remember lines and everything.
Well, yeah, but it's just that thing of a ridiculous thing. Like, but it was so much fun. Like, I was, because one of your, the producer was saying he remembers it fondly. He's a very young man. But yeah. Because we used to do things like, I thought what I wanted to do was get the most famous person in the world on and do nothing. Because I just love that when, it was at the time, especially with Hollywood, they get the big stars over and make a big fuss and like coming down the stairs. And so we got the Golden Girls was the biggest show at the time, so we got Bea Arthur on, and she just came into our pub on the set, and I think she just went, do you know which way the toilet is? And I went, it's over there, and that was her line, and like we flew her over first. I hate kind of wasting money, but we flew her over first. She insists on Concorde, and I think she brought a little dog with her and stuff like that, but we had to give her all the kind of Dorchester, all that, just for that one line, because I just wanted people to go, what, they really, she came over just for that?
I think that's great.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, it's fun, but as I say, there's still
come back and do it again.
Well, there's a bit of me kind of that just, like, I was brought up quite poor, so there's still that thing of I hate waste. Is that an Irish thing, or is it just poor?
No, it's because you're poverty stricken.
Yeah. Is it just
poverty? No, we weren't poor.
I was happy with poor. I don't like the poverty
thing. No, we weren't poor. Go on. Tell us about yourself. So, no, you always had to finish everything on your plate.
Well, yeah, that, not with the food my mum made.
My mother wasn't much of a cook either, but you still had to finish it.
Did you have, because the thing is that a normal thing, or is that just back in the day, that we had the same thing on a Monday, the same thing on a, you know, every day we had, like on Monday, like we'd have leftover Sundays, on Tuesday we'd have like chops, that kind of thing.
Rissoles.
Yeah, did you have it with the same thing, so you knew exactly?
Yeah. You knew, you were able to predict. And of course Friday, when you couldn't eat fish, when you could only eat
fish,
and then you had to have a fried egg and chips.
Yeah, no, we had that, but I, out of the 7 days of the week, I didn't like six of the meals, and they never changed it. It was like being at the worst restaurant ever. But did you like it? Because I just went, I don't like six of these.
No, you see, I still loved food, although, you know, my mother did her best to put us off.
Yeah, no, she did. Because, you know, a lot of Irish people say, oh, we live by the one book, and they think it's the Bible. It certainly isn't, like, a cookery book. And I think, you know, it would have been nice to have a cookery book and the Bible in every household in Ireland back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, thinking that sweet corn was quite a delicacy.
Oh, I thought mushrooms were a delicacy.
They are, Terry. Don't ever mistake that.
Okay. Fine. I'll ask the present Mrs. Rogan if she wouldn't mind cooking me one. Well, just to see what it's like.
Well, yeah, you've got your different forms of mushroom now, of course.
She'd probably try and kill me. So tell me this now. You're a man who gets around. Because I myself live out in the sticks, so I rarely see anything of any significance. You've been to see the Book of Mormon,
I understand. Yeah, I went to see
it. You do that specially for us.
Well, I went to see it, but yeah, and I thought, I'll tell you all about it. No, yeah, it's
got mixed reviews, hasn't it? Some people saying, oh, the language is dreadful.
There's a lot about your children. No, halfway through, I was thinking, it's such a fun show and you can't bring your children, which it's suitable for children, though, but, like, children don't even know what swear words are, but, yeah, there's some Yeah, it's all the bad languages in there. But it's a really brilliant night. It's kind of it's a musical for people who don't really like musicals, if that makes any sense, because there's not any tunes that you come out kind of going, I'm going to be singing that for the rest of the day. But it's really well crafted, and it's the two guys who wrote South Park, which I'm not a huge fan of, but you know, it's got its moments. But they have comedy sensibility, so musicals aren't used to that. So they kind of really put, I guess, a bit of swearing as well. But
it's been huge in America, of course.
Yeah, but it's sold out here for a year anyway.
Yeah. So what about yourself and the acting?
Yeah, I sometimes get away with it. You know,
You've done Coronation Street, The Last Detective. I mean, have you got anything coming up? Any kind of drama?
Well, no, there's a film that I wrote with a friend, and we're kind of going to do, we're going to film a trailer of it to get more money, because there's so much money involved. So I'm really looking forward to that, because once you're in control of things, you know, you just want to be a control freak. So I've got plenty of that. And also, like, I'm doing a new show in Edinburgh this year as well, at the Fringe Festival. And to me, some of that's acting, but it's kind of, you know, it's, like, I guess it's a bit like we all put a little bit of our persona in different places.
Tell me this, does your mother, who I know is still in Dublin, does she ever?
Are you? Does she ever?
No. I'm just wondering if she's ever surprised by your success.
Yeah, well, that's a nice way of putting it. Because basically, once I grew up too tall to be a jockey, my dad just disowned me for quite a few years. But like, my father was a driving instructor, my mother was a traffic warden, so there was a lot of tension in the house. But it was also so nothing was expected of me. Like, I wasn't expecting, they didn't know what the media was. I believe you were talking about it earlier on, because we had the pipe television, coming in from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so television wasn't the thing that you were supposed to get into. And, I used to work part-time in a supermarket, and they were saying, they'd come back and say, will they take you on full-time? I was going, well, they probably will, but I don't really want to box, you know, butter for the rest of my life. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but so they didn't really have any ambition for me. So, like, that's one of the reasons I did the Coronation Street job, because all of a sudden my mother went, that's what you do, you know, and because she watches that. And initially, when I went into Coronation Street, I played kind of Eileen Grimshaw's lover, who, does she still run the taxi office? She goes over to fireman. Well, yeah, but initially I was going to get her pregnant, which would have been really weird, because I haven't got any children, so that would have been very confusing for my mum. Like, watching Coronation Street and seeing Ireland, and like, she go, why aren't you bringing the kids over? And I go, that's not real, Mum. So, like luckily that storyline didn't happen. But, like, that was the reason I sometimes, it's great that you get offered jobs like that, because it makes my mum feel much more prouder than me just cussing like a young fella on stage.
You know, it's been great to talk to you, Sean.
Thanks very much.
Good to see you again.
I'm not going to do a wild plug, but just for any, like, rather than reeling off dates, just go to the website, seanhughes.co.uk.
From the 30th of May, Life Becomes Noise.
Yeah, all the details of anything that I do is on there, really.
West End Arts. It's very you, isn't it, Arts?
Oh, I'm very.
Well done, love.
Thanks very much, Terry.
Pleasure, Sean.
Heavy eyes and restless heart, ordinary, found a way.